Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for October 12th. I'm your host, Darren Armstrong, and with me today is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. I feel a little bad about my being here today because I feel like at this point in the season, when you get a slower day, this is when you and the chat tend to have your intimate moments in the same way that we might have seen in the live feeds a day or two ago. And I feel like I'm getting in the way of that, but I'm still happy to be here and talk about it all.
So you're saying that you are the Christmas in this scenario, not leaving.
I'm never the Christmas in any scenario.
Not That's leaving not us what I'm alone. Well, I would, this is a chat and I just want to talk and you just like, you're just keep showing up.
No, because see, I know that this is happening and this is only the one time it's going to happen. I won't let it happen again. After one time that Christmas says it, she'll just keep coming back for more. So I'm acknowledging it. I'm recognizing my faults and I will never do this again. You and the chat can have your time together after today.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see.
I don't make the schedule.
You're just going to come back. Are you sure you don't want to have me on another podcast? Are you sure you don't want to use the podcast veto on me? You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 68 in the house. And
oh, I missed day 69 by one day. Come on. Come on.
See, I'm telling you, I'm going to get a knock. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to be like, hey, I know you wanted. All right.
Can I come back, please?
there's not much here. We're going to update you on the state of what's going on here, but no major changes beyond the fact that perhaps Enzo might be looking at things slightly differently, but we'll talk about it. Nicole started the day by talking to Memphis and Memphis basically gave Nicole a pitch that, hey, it would be great if they sat in the final two together. They'd both have a good chance to win. He says it's dumb when people take someone they can't beat to the final two. It's not like he ever was going to do that. And it's not like she's ever going to do that either, right?
Right. Yeah. This house is full of people who wouldn't make decisions like that ever. All right. So, yeah, let's start off the day with Memphis and Nicole and kind of have that be the only game talk for hours and hours and hours. But it was, you know, frustrating, like as overall, but just like I was like so excited to come in here and talk. It's been, I don't know, like a week and change. But then we get this one game talk and it was about 10 minutes long, if that. Memphis and Nicole can't stand to like fake it with each other for too long. It's just Nicole doesn't do the faking. Like she wasn't doing it with Tyler. She's not wanting to do it with Memphis. And Memphis is like, I don't know. He does his best work on this end, whether it's with the other guys or with Christmas. It never really was with Nicole or Danny or anyone like that all season. So these conversations, they just kind of like bounce right off of each other and leave the room as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's not much deeper than this. He makes another pitch to like, hey, because he talked to Christmas the day before about like, oh, make sure she's aware of the fact that she can't beat Cody. He does something like that. And then he's like, all right, so, you know, let me know what you think. And he says on his way out, he says, I just want to let you know, You're a great person. You have a great spirit. I just hope we can be friends after this game. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you. And then he leaves and Nicole's just like, what?
Oh, he was like, he's like, I meant to tell you this before we started the game talk. I meant to tell you this like earlier that I really like you. You're just cute. You're great. You have a great energy about you. I'm just so glad that we clicked. I'm hoping, you know, I hope we can be friends after this. And Nicole was like, what is happening?
Like, oh man, I feel so bad now. I've been mean to him all season and he's so nice. Why am I such a jerk?
Flattery will get you everywhere with a lot of these players. Some people see right through it. Some people will just absorb it all and take it in. Oh, he called me cute. That was so nice.
Mm-hmm. So that was funny. Memphis doing some okay work, I guess, yeah, throughout the day. In fact, I'd go as far as to say it's pretty good work. He's really just being countered by Cody at this point. Memphis is going to talk to Enzo. And he says, look, I don't think it makes sense for Nicole to use the veto, which is fine. You know, as long as she doesn't use it on Christmas, then we're good. Cause you and Cody are going to keep me. It's going to be all right. We're going to take her out next week and it's going to work out.
Yeah. I've been tweeting about this that, and I'm sure you've been saying the same thing, that just Memphis is really putting this out and trying to make it fact by speaking it to both of the guys. Like, I am staying this week. So as long as, you know, things stay the same, I don't mind being up on the block. It's no problem. I get it. And then you guys are going to vote to keep me. We're going to go into Final Four, like not even doubting it for a second, not making it a question like you guys are keeping me. Right. I don't think I've heard him ask them that once. He's just fully assuming and making it clear to them that he's comfortable where he is. And you guys are keeping me and we're going to keep moving forward. So let's just keep planning ahead. Let's just make sure that the veto, you know, doesn't go anything crazy, that she doesn't use it on Christmas. And the guys are like, yeah, we're good, yo.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know if he's doing this on purpose. He may just genuinely have full faith in Cody and Enzo, but I like this as a strategy, again, whether he's doing it on purpose or not, that if the more you question somebody, the more you open the door for them to do the thing that you're questioning about. If you act like no, of course you're keeping me. It's obvious. I would never doubt you. Not only does it show that you have faith in them, which is going to make them feel better about you, but it also like doesn't give them any kind of out. Like it's a lot harder to, in a weird way. Cause what happens is that people, when they feel insecure or paranoid, they think, oh, if I see it coming, it'll be easier. It'll be easier for me and it'll be harder for them if I talk about it before it happens. But in reality, it's actually harder because, the more you say it, the more it exists. If you're like, oh, you'd never betray me, and you're like living a happy life, the other person sitting there like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to stab this like carefree spirit, this is gonna be so much worse. Like, if they're sitting there like, you're not gonna do this to me, are you? I hope not. Then it's like, no, of course not, but yeah, I am. Yeah,
I see it both ways. I don't know that I think he's, I think he's definitely doing this intentionally. Like this whole, every time that he's talking to the guys, it feels pretty calculated. It feels like it feels like he's going into the conversations with this like agenda to talk the way that he's talking. It doesn't feel the most natural. I feel like the chemistry they've had all game is not feeling the same this week, because I think probably all three of them know exactly what's going on underneath the surface, but they're just kind of playing it cool as to avoid, you know, those tough conversations into later in the week. With Tyler, you know, Cody was keeping it as you know, comfortable as possible for both of them, and not really giving him too much information, not really telling him anything about him being the target. But then later in the week, it started to become a little bit more clear. And then I'm guessing by Thursday, Tyler was, you know, fully aware that he was the one going home, that the conversations must have, and, you know, then we saw that whatever he might have done like last minute Hail Marys. But with Memphis, I don't know. I think he's kind of maybe losing an opportunity here by doing this way. It's not, you know, it's not, I think, 100% either way, but by presenting this as he thinks it's all 100% still great, you know, on board for what he wants it to be. He's not really opening the door to like pull information out of them and say like, so like, are you even thinking at all that you might be wanting to send me home? And then just see what their reactions are, because by playing the acting game with both of them, you're just acting. All three parties are just acting with each other. But if you actually ask him a little bit and say, ask Cody or ask Enzo, be like, look, I get it. I know I'm like kind of a big target. Are you thinking about this at all? Like, is there anything that I should be worried about? And they might lie to you, but you might at least get something compared to right now that you're just getting all complete BS.
Well, yeah, I think what I'm saying is that if Memphis was aware that Cody and Enzo were going to vote him out,
or at least were
thinking about it. What I'm saying is, if he's aware, then he already has the information. Okay. And I think this tactic is a good way to like pretending you don't, because the second he makes it known that he might even suspect that they were thinking about betraying him, they are going to feel less secure about their own position with Memphis, if that makes sense. Like, the second they know that he knows that they were going to maybe do something, then they're going to think, well, now next week he's going to have a reason to say, well, you guys were thinking of doing this to me. Whereas if they still feel like it's this clean, nice, you know, pristine alliance relationship that still hasn't been touched, still hasn't been tarnished, then it's still an option to turn back to if they want. So,
and at least on the Enzo end of things, it's working, right?
Exactly.
Because Enzo is having these considerations of maybe if he is still all on board with this plan, then maybe it does make sense to keep him. So at least on like 50% of the voters here, it could be doing something.
Exactly. And this is the problem that Tyler had last week, which is that even when people kept going back to the decision, it was, well, it's already been screwed up at this point. Like, he already thinks that I'm taking a shot at him. He's right. Already taken a shot at me. Like, it's already gone too far down that path. Whereas with Memphis, he's still sitting at the start of the tracks, like, you know, hasn't gone anywhere. So what happens is Enzo goes to Cody and he's like, yo, I really do think Memphis will cut Nicole. Yo, I think he trusts us. Yo, he's going to take Nicole out.
Yeah, he will. No, well, I mean, he will. But you know, the conversations that they're going to have throughout the day are going to be, or throughout the day and throughout, you know, the past few days have just been a little bit deeper. They recognize it's a very similar situation to the Tyler thing. So even if they can keep coming back to this, and they will keep coming back to this for the rest of the week, that yes, Memphis will be more loyal to us and probably will cut Nicole at Final Four if that's, you know, the case that's presented. But he's also the bigger competitor and it might make more sense to take him out, which is, I still feel like, where they're leaning. But yeah, they, you know, they're just going to keep going back and forth. At least for now.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that Memphis is doing a decent job of is making sure to present it as like, hey, it's Nicole and Christmas. Obviously Nicole is going to want Christmas, so I need you guys to keep me. And Enzo says, I don't trust Christmas and Nicole together, yo. I think Nicole's planning to cut you, yo. I don't think she's taking you to Final Two. And Cody's like, yeah, she's for sure not taking me to Final Two. Of course not. But Cody says, look, I'd prefer to not burn her this week, though, because if we burn her, then she'll definitely cut us at Final Four. Whereas she may not if we don't burn her. And Enzo's like, I don't know, yo. I don't know. Like, so we burn her, yo. Like, whatever. Like, what is she going to do about it? She got to get rid of Memphis. She's going to get rid of Memphis? No, yo. That's it. That's not it, yo. She's not going to do that, yo. That's it.
Yeah, and another thing, I guess, whether it's intentional or not on Memphis's behalf, I was saying what we just started the podcast about how he's only up there for like 10 minutes at a time. Christmas is up there for about 2 hours at a time when she goes up to talk to Nicole. So if they are looking at these two and their relationships, if Cody and Enzo are looking at Memphis and Christmas and their specific relationships to Nicole, they have been feeling like Nicole and Christmas might be having something brewing here. It's the Danny and Davon situation all over again. Davon spent a lot of time with Danny and it was like, all right, so maybe she wants to use her to advance her own game. And now that you're at Final Five, the fear of Nicole using Christmas to advance her towards that Final Two spot is definitely a lot. It's like it's 10 times the severity of it all. So that is going to definitely play into the things as well, especially when you see that Memphis does go up there for 10 minutes. So it's, you know,
yeah,
close.
Enzo says, look, there's just no way she'd want to take Memphis to the final three. It's just, she would never want that. It doesn't make any sense for her to do that. So they might as well just do what they want this week. They can always make the decision later in the week and just tell Nicole, like, hey, sorry, this is the way we're going. Cody, though, still says, yeah, Christmas is just easier to beat, though. And that's what it comes down to. And this is, again, another week where I can really see it going either way. Even for Enzo, the more I think about it, heading into next week, the only way Enzo goes home is if the person who stays this week wins the HOH. So that means if Christmas or Memphis win the HOH, and then Nicole is the vote, because Nicole will always vote Enzo out over Cody. So if Christmas wins the HOH, Nicole votes out Enzo over Cody. If Memphis wins the HOH, Nicole votes out Enzo over Cody. Those are the only two scenarios where he goes home. And I would put more money on Enzo on Memphis winning that HOH than Christmas. So I think Cody has a solid point as well. I think it's actually not that much better. In fact, it may even be worse for Enzo to have Memphis there. The only benefit is that if Memphis does somehow survive the final four, then he can somehow maybe end up in the final two with Memphis, which might be better odds for him. But it's definitely better odds to somehow end up in the final two with Christmas. So, I'm actually starting to come around on the idea that it's maybe better for Christmas to stay for Enzo.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis has now I'm doing what you do. Enzo has a talk later in the night to the cameras where he kind of expresses everything that I think we're saying about his position in the game. He like pretty much knows that he has a ticket to the final three unless like a very specific circumstance happens. And I don't even know if he's even planning on winning a competition in the next round, because I think he feels like he doesn't have to. I'm sure like he's not going to throw them especially, but like, he feels like he doesn't need to win.
I think he wants to win. He was, this is a dumb reason for thinking he wants to win, but he was talking to Mulan.
Oh my God.
About how he really wants to win.
And what did Mulan say back?
You know what? I did not hire a cow translator.
Okay.
So I was not able to catch the response, but I'm pretty sure he wants to win.
We'll wait for the DRs.
I think the point is, though, that he needs some wins on his resume. He needs to start winning things so he can win the game. So I do think he will try in the final four. Yeah.
And going into next week, we also have a situation. They talked about this as well during the day about how Cody and Enzo still have not seen the block yet, right? Yep. So they both want to break the other person's streak to have that over the other going into the end game if they end up, happened to end up in the final two together. I made it through the whole season without being on the block. He didn't. So whoever wins the next HOH definitely has the opportunity to take that away from the other. And I think that they will end up taking it.
Yes. Like I said, the more I think about it, the more I am kind of feeling like it maybe is genuinely better for Enzo to have Christmas there. So long as Nicole is still willing to evict Christmas in the final four, which it seems like she is, according to what she said to the cameras thus far, that might change, of course. But we'll see.
And I mean, just looking at it from like our perspective, it does kind of feel like Cody is the top pick of who's likely to win the next HOH anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at it as the other three are going to be the options to be evicted, and say Cody wins the veto again, because again, he's going to, to me, seem like the most likely to win there. Nicole ends up being off the block and then she's going to have her choice. Well, actually, Enzo could be in trouble there.
He could be, but I just don't see Nicole burning Cody at the final four like that. Especially if he won the veto and gave her the option, like, hey, I'm going to leave you off the block, but you need to vote. Like, is Nicole really going to Dan Giesling? Cody,
she does have a very big, like, not fear, but she has like a very big, like, something holding her back from ever really like putting Cody in that much, like going against him that much. Like, it's noticeable probably for the majority of the game, but especially like recently when it's down to just them, like she really doesn't want to piss Cody off. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that like is all about. It's just like, she's thankful for him for keeping her safe as long as he's been able to or whatever. But I don't know. She just keeps going back to this. Like, I don't want to make Cody mad.
Yeah, I just don't see Nicole voting out Enzo over Christmas at the Final Four explicitly against Cody's will heading into the Final Three, especially when Cody is the most likely person to win the Final Three HOH. And I don't know. I just don't see it happening personally. And that's why.
Because if she betrays him there, what's to stop him from betraying her at Final Three?
Exactly.
Christmas to the Final Two. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you're Cody and Nicole just burned you that hard to try. I mean, she's basically saying that she's willing to take Christmas now to the Final Two if she's willing to burn you that hard at Final Four.
So you got to keep Enzo in there so that she can then go to Cody at Final Three and say, if you win the Final Three HOH, you have to take me. They're not going to vote for me again. Enzo played a strong social game. You can't sit up next to him.
Yeah.
So and talking myself back into it.
What I can see Nicole doing is, even if she has the vetoes, doing something like, hey, I'm doing this for you. Christmas would take me to the Final Two, and I know Enzo's going to take you, but I'm going to keep Enzo. And that, like, I'm doing this for you. Don't make me look like a fool by taking Enzo to the Final Two instead of me. And Cody will, of course, be like, never. I would never. And then who knows what he'd end up doing. But I can literally see that conversation happening.
Yeah, I mean, the whole dynamic, that's what like, even when the end game starts being boring in terms of like overall feeds, like the specific way that the pieces become different each round, like how they become different, like in the eyes of all the other players each round, is one of the more interesting parts. And that's why, like, towards this part of the end game, even though, like I said, feeds are boring, when you actually catch the game conversations to see how, like, an Enzo who was super safe for the whole game, and all of a sudden Nicole is starting to see him in a different light, and then, you know, just next week it might be completely different. Like, right now she might be like, Enzo being gone would be good for me, but then when next week comes, if she has that decision in front of her, Enzo being gone would be bad for her. So I don't know, it's just trying to find the things to pay attention to down in these final 16 boring days or whatever it is. Boring.
Final 16. Yeah. Wow. It is just 16 left.
That was a guess. If I got that right,
it's the 28th, right?
Card. Yeah.
16 days. 12.
Okay. Look at me.
Look at you. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. So Christmas is going to spend a long time campaigning to Nicole about, trying to evict Cody.
We got a back door, Cody. He's going to use the veto. He's going to do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Nicole humors it. Christmas, like, at the very least, like, take me off the block. You can't trust these boys to keep me. And Nicole's like, I think they will. It's like, what? Yeah, really? Will you at least talk to Enzo? Blah, blah, blah. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It's not going to go anywhere.
I mean, yeah, Tyler last week asked Cody to take him down, too. I mean, you got to ask, right? You got to at least ask, see how it goes. They're not going to do it. But if you just go the entire 48 hours or whatever it is in between veto comp and veto ceremony and you don't even ask, will you want to take me down? No, worth a shot. Not going to happen, though.
And yes, and as our little skit sort of was designed for, it's they're constantly complaining about Christmas talking to them about anything, really. It's the second Christmas leaves and Enzo comes up, he's like, yo, you weren't even up here for 3 minutes, yo, that's it. Because Christmas just won't leave them alone, which, you know, I get it. I do, as somebody who has watched Christmas, but at the same time, like, there's five of you in the house. Like, you really expect to be able to have, like, alone time from one specific person of the four other people that are in the house?
They've been complaining about her for what, like 4 weeks now or so, from like focusing in on how annoying she is and how much she just breaks up conversations. But that's been another point. And like, I've also been tweeting about how I'm like annoyed that Christmas keeps surviving these weeks, but the fact that she's annoying everybody else in the house by still being there and I'm not worried about her winning, I'm like, all right, it's fine. Let her keep bothering everybody. Like, Enzo being set off is the best Enzo. So that's like when you're going to get the most fun version of Enzo. If he's just calm, cool, collected, then we're just boring. So that at least we still have those two in the house, and she has, you know, no idea that she's pissing him off this much, but that's Christmas for you.
Yeah. So Memphis is also going to talk to Nicole. She's pretending to be considering this idea about like, oh yeah, maybe I'll backdoor Cody, maybe it'll happen. And Memphis is kind of like, really? I mean, if you're willing to do that, like, I'm willing to talk, I'm willing to deal, you know, like, we can talk through this, we can figure this out. She's like, yeah, we'll think about it. And then after he leaves, she's like, man, I'm glad Cody told me about the wise guys, because I know that Memphis is lying. I don't know if I would have known, like, I think the implicated, like, I don't know if I, like, maybe I would have fallen for this if I didn't already know about the wise guys. Because Memphis keeps making a huge point of like, hey, you know this, I have made no other deals. I am somebody who is very straightforward and I am very stingy with the deals that I make. And I am willing to make the deal with you. And you know how good I am on my word. I made the wise guys. I stuck to the wise guys. We made it to the final seven. Like, we're locked in, and I'm willing to extend this offer to you. We can even go as far as the final two if that's what you want. And it feels very compelling, except Nicole already knows that it's a lie. But if she didn't know it was a lie, who knows?
Yeah. And this, the conversation that you were just talking about, that was like the late night one. Yeah. Between Memphis. Okay. Cause like I was catching up this morning. I mean, feeds were down for like hours and hours yesterday, as I feel like is typical for a Sunday night. But when they came back, it was like later in the night, and it was, you know, Christmas and Nicole had been talking. And then I guess after Christmas had that conversation, she goes downstairs and she's trying to, you know, pump up Memphis and saying, you need to go talk to her now. You need to go be the one up there in the room and making these deals. But then at this point, Cody and Enzo had been up there for a little while. Yeah. And Nicole's watching on the cameras the whole time. And I'm sitting there laughing, because Memphis is like, first of all, he doesn't go to bed late. He's usually in bed by 10 p.m. And at this point, what, we're like 11 or so, 11:30, 12:30 or something like that. And he's just walking around the house, doing laps over to the bathroom, in the kitchen, over around. And Nicole's like, why is he awake? Like, what is he doing? What, like, does he want to talk to me? Is something happening? She, like, it was very noticeable that after 67 days of Memphis going to bed early, he was just wandering around the house, like, being weird. And then I think it was about four laps that he had taken around the house. And eventually, finally, he made his way upstairs, sat in the little area outside the HOH room. And then Enzo was the only one left in there with Nicole. And they were laughing. They were like, what is he doing? Like, what is he? If you want to come talk to Nicole, come talk to Nicole. And then by the time he came in the room, Nicole was like almost laughing in his face. Not really. Like, she was like stifling it in, but she was trying to like not like laugh about the fact that he has been obviously very nervous to come talk to her. And then that conversation they had was just, you know, the same BS that they had earlier in the day, because Memphis is nervous. Look, he's definitely shaken up a little bit. I think I even saw him like get up. I don't know why I watched all of this. I had it on in the background. I just did not turn it off this morning as I was up early today. And he was like, I think he was like going to the bathroom again. Like, I don't know. He just definitely seems shaken up, worried about how this week is going to go. I definitely think he knows that his number might be up here, and Christmas is trying to help him out. And I think the worry that Christmas keeps bringing to him is only making him more worried about it all. So, you know, the veto's not going to get used. Maybe that'll calm him down so that he can then go to work on the guys and just continue to ensure that Christmas is the one that's going to go home. But now that, you know, we're in these final hours before the veto ceremony, and Christmas keeps, you know, going to him saying, we might be able to get Cody on the block, and Memphis's head is spinning. He's like, I don't think that's going to happen, but okay, I guess I'll have to try.
Mm-hmm.
A lot happened in a little time.
That conversation between Nicole, Cody, and Enzo before Memphis came up was the one where they were talking about the final four, like, nominations, and they were mm-hmm. joking about like different combinations of nominations, which I have a feeling will eventually, you know, actually be strategic, but they were just joking about it. And then Nicole also says to the cameras after Memphis leaves, she says, you know, Cody is playing a great game. But everybody knows he's playing a great game. I'm playing a great game, and it's a secret. People don't know it.
Those secret great games always go over so well with the juries, don't they?
Yeah. Secretly great.
Secretly great. Nicole Franzel's game, the story of Nicole. That'll be a fun discussion one day in the all-time winner rankings when she wins again this season. Well, she played one game that was, some people say, underrated. Then she played again. It was secretly great. So how do we weigh that in with the grades? Some of them are great, but Nicole's secretly great.
Also, like, she had a conversation when Christmas was pitching to her. They were talking about Tyler, and Nicole was just like, "Yeah, I could always tell when Tyler was lying. I don't understand why everyone thought he was such a great liar. Like, what happened?" Like, and Christmas was like, "Yeah, he was terrible." They're like, "I can't believe like." Everyone on season 20 like believed him. It's so weird. Christmas is like, "Oh, they were newbies." And he's like, "I guess so." Like he's just so bad at it.
Yeah, she's like, "The first time he lied to me, like he just looked at me and he lied, and I was like, is this a joke? Or is this like, are you going to tell me like, haha, just kidding?" But then he walked out of the room and she was like, "I just couldn't believe that was his real story. That was what actually he was trying to convince me about." And Nicole was saying, you know, a similar thing. I think hasn't she been telling people like in a very shady way, like, "Oh, I thought Tyler was the saboteur because his gameplay was so all over the place that I thought he must have been, you know, playing with some other agenda because it just didn't make sense what he was doing." And, you know, we've talked to death about Tyler's game and about how he kind of just didn't have his head in it the whole time. So that's kind of what they're really picking up on here. But they're just all high and mighty about the like, "Oh, Tyler was bad. We're good. But Tyler's not that good."
Yeah. Well, it's like it's like, yeah, he never worked on you, Nicole. Like you never had any conversations with him. Of course, you never believed him with anything he said.
And she's acknowledged that before too. She said like, "We never talked." Like, yeah. Obviously he put me on the block. We never talked. It was always fake.
It's kind of like it would kind of be like if I talked to Dr. Will in an interview and he lied to me about something that I saw in the game. I'm like, "Wow, Dr. Will, such a bad liar. I see right through this. Why does everyone believe you when you say things?"
And look, Tyler's going to say the exact same thing about Nicole once we get to Jury House or just in general post-game interviews or whatever. He's going to be saying the same thing. So, yeah, you didn't talk. You were always lying to each other. Same thing with Danny. Same thing with, I don't know, whoever else that you're not giving information to other people. Like, it's not many people go through the game being like actually like great liars to everybody in the house, but they're just kind of patting themselves in the back a little bit here.
Yeah. So then, I mean, honestly, that was basically the day. Nicole and Enzo talk a bit more about late into the night, like, "Yeah, we can beat Cody. Of course we can." What are these people talking about? "We can't beat Cody. There's so you can beat Cody. I can beat Cody. We can all beat Cody. He's won a bunch of comps." Whatever. You just won some comps, Nicole. You know,
enough, yo, enough. We got to get Cody out of here. Yo, enough.
Well, that's the thing. It's not that they have to get him out. It's that they can beat him. Yeah. It's the and you know, they're like, yeah. Cody, he's won all those comps. But we have been maneuvering around other people's comp wins. We've had a harder time of this game because we didn't have the comp wins. So if Cody's all about comp wins, he's got a bunch of comp wins, whatever. That doesn't mean he's going to beat us in the end. Gah. No.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will come up a little bit, you know, as well on the roundtable tomorrow. But it did sound like in Enzo's little talk to the cameras after Nicole had like left the HOH room, it sounded a little bit like he was aware of cutting Cody would be his best move. And I think that a lot of people have been talking about, well, Enzo's the most loyal guy, like he'll take Cody to the end. But well, the way he was talking, he was saying, you know, Nicole and Christmas in the final three would hit with him would be great. He's like, I want to see Cody there too. I like Cody a lot. You know, I want to bring him there. I want to see him there. But the beginning of that talk was Cody going at final four would be the best for him. At least like to hear him have that thought out loud was comforting to hear as somebody who would like to see Enzo do well, to have him know that sitting next to Cody in the end would not be great for him. So yeah, and I see in the chat, yeah, he's all talk. I fully get that, but just would love to entertain the thought that maybe if Cody is an option in the next two rounds to see go, maybe he would do so. I don't know. Unlikely, I mean, but yeah, maybe.
And maybe that has something to do with him wanting to keep Memphis around, that if he's got Memphis, then it gives him the option to cut Nicole and then have to cut Christmas and then get to the final three with Memphis and Nicole in a spot where hopefully Memphis is still willing to take him or something along those lines, maybe. Like the chat said, I just don't envision a scenario where either Enzo or Nicole burn Cody at the final four, maybe by the final three, when it's the last decision to make, they might think, okay, I'm not gonna pull a Cody. Maybe, but I still feel like it's pretty unlikely at this point.
And that's all to assume that, you know, Cody's not winning his way there at this point. We're down to final four as of, you know, Thursday, and Cody has two chances to save himself at final four and then just, you know, win that final part of the HOH, which he has done before. So expecting to not see Cody in a final two chair at this point does feel pretty optimistic if that's not what you're looking for. But, you know, I guess you still got to talk about the other paths if he doesn't end up winning that. I mean, predictions perspective, you know, definitely see him making his way to the final three. He will win one of the next two comps for sure. Final three. It's just then that 50-50 chance that he ends up, you know, being taken out by whoever wants to move on to the final two and not sit next to him. So that's kind of what we're playing for here.
All
final
right.
16 days.
There you go. So that's what we have for you today. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Matt.
No, that's about it. I mean, like I said, it's not the most interesting by any means here, but as somebody who is very excited to see Christmas and Enzo squirming in their seats here on the block, and now that the nominations will be locked today, Nicole will not use her veto. I'm looking forward to the next 3 days to see both of them fight for their lives a little bit. Christmas has been fighting a lot and, working her way to stay. And this dynamic between Christmas and Nicole is doing a lot to make Enzo and Cody skeptical about keeping her in the house. So as much as it does seem like Memphis is going home and everybody's aware that he should be the one to leave, I still feel like we're going to get a lot of back and forth and conversations about this way or that way. So if that's, you know, something you're interested in, then still keep an eye out on it.
All right.
That's all
so
I got.
There you go. Yes. It's not, and this always happens really toward the end of a season. Like the day to day is not going to be quite as interesting because there's so much, there's big decisions that aren't going to be like impacted on a day to day level necessarily, but small updates every day. And then some big things to talk about usually as we get into the end game, which is still pretty interesting in terms of the different strategies and things that could happen as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. But that's what we have for you. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And later tonight, we will have the veto episode of Big Brother 22. And there will be a recap after that tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We will have the Stockwatch Roundtable. So make sure you tune in for that. We're going to update the scores and the prices. We're going to see where everything goes. And that's what we have for you. So you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Matt, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter at Matt Liguori, and anything that I have going on, I'll tweet about it. So check me out there. And I'm sorry again for being in the way of you in the chat on this lovely Monday morning. I'm sure you guys will have some time together soon.
Yes. Also, it's not the veto episode. I got screwed up because it's Monday. It's the HOH episode. HOH episode all the way on Monday.
So you can't get Memphis and Enzo right. You can't get HOH and veto right. What are we paying you for?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank
long
you guys.
Season, 69 days.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'll see you next time.